At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yes or no? Do you agree with Trump that this war is won?
I agree that we have devastated their military.
Wait, do you agree that we've won? He said we've won. Yes or no? It's not a hard question.
Well, I mean, if you consider a condition of winning destroying their military capabilities, their missile capabilities.
We haven't. Wait, if that's true, why can't the Strait of Hormuz be open if their military is destroyed?
Nice try, Adam.
What do you mean, nice try? Scott Jennings wrote an article titled
and
Trump
Tom Homan just... No, look, I've been being polite to you all day, and I'm done with it. So look,
All right, wow. That had to have been my most heated CNN debate yet, and I urge you guys to watch until the end, because while I'm debating Scott Jennings, there's a moment when the former Attorney General of Virginia, a Republican named Ken Cuccinelli, snaps on me. I still don't even know why he was so mad. I'm trying to figure it out. But I looked him up and it says he's a huge opponent of homosexuality and he wants prohibitions on same-sex marriage. So yeah, honestly, F this guy. I urge you guys to drop a like on this video, watch until the end because it does get heated, and help us get to 2 million subscribers on the Adam Mockler feed. We're starting a new debate show of our own very soon. Love you all.
We've won this. This war has been won. But they have no Navy and they have no Air Force and they have no nothing.
Oh, I think we've won. But from a military standpoint, they're finished.
We've won. Let me say, we've won. You know, you never like to say too early you won. We won. We won the bet. In the first hour, it was over.
In the first hour, it was over, he said. And yet, bombs continue to fall. Troops continue to head to the region. What does this even mean anymore, Ken Cuccinelli?
Well, it's really all going to be judged at the end, looking backwards.
And, are we not already at the end? The president keeps saying we're at the end.
No, we're not at the end. I mean,
so you disagree
my
with
understanding of what he's saying is that they've devastated the military, and that's accurate. It's hard to imagine it isn't. But that doesn't mean it's over. I mean, this is a regime that suffering is a tactic, even for its own people. I will say what's different this time is that their leadership's been successfully targeted. And so they're not just contemplating other people's suffering. They're contemplating their own suffering for the first time. And we can't see from over here what that does to the calculation on that side. Nonetheless, they're human beings like everybody else, and that's going to factor into how this plays out here in the next few weeks.
I'm glad that we got Ken's very charitable interpretation of what Donald Trump is claiming on a daily basis, that we've won. But the reality is, what the president is saying is incongruent with what's happening on the ground, and that's the scary part here. There are two separate conversations that are happening when we're doing these debates. There's a conversation that you guys are having, which is just whatever the administration says on any given day. One day we've won, the next day there's negotiations, the next day we've won again. But there's the actual on-the-ground reality that we are mobilizing thousands of troops to the Middle East. We are asking for $200 billion for this war. And I don't know, what are we getting for this? 86-year-old Khamenei was replaced with his 30-year younger son, who's more radical, more extreme, is purging moderates. Can anyone tell me what we've gotten for this?
Well, I think that one question I would posit here is to you, Scott, and this is what James Mattis had to say, okay? Mad Dog Mattis, right? Mm-hmm. Very well-respected Marine Corps general, former Trump defense secretary. He says this, Iran right now, if we declared victory, they'd say they own the strait. You'd see attacks for every ship that goes through. We're in a tough spot. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't identify a lot of options. I know we've talked here, and I think one of the responses to what you just laid out is that the Iranians have funded bad actors across the region for many decades. Mm. Many presidents in both parties have talked about how bad this regime is. But Scott, the challenge is, okay, we've done this. We seem to have underestimated their capabilities with drones, their willingness to dig in, the ways that they've attacked their allies. And now Jim Mattis is saying he can't see a good way out. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, the way out, of course, is for an international coalition to secure the strait. And, just in the news today is that the British Royal Navy is on its way. They've decided to engage. I think that's the clear future here, is after you decimate their military, take away their ability to make nuclear weapons, take away their ability to have a ballistic missile program, and defeat their willingness to be an exporter of terror, you have an international coalition that, A, monitors these people, and, B, secures the strait. And obviously, virtually every country in the world has an interest in the strait being open and secure, and that they don't have a navy or any capability at all to harass these ships going through. So I think that would be the hope. And I think what the president said is true. We have decimated their military capabilities. We've destroyed nearly all of their navy. We've destroyed nearly all of their navy. So to me, if you exit this with an Iran that has defanged as it relates to missiles, as it relates to an aggressive navy, you take away their ability to make nuclear weapons, and you leave the remnant here unwilling to be a supporter of terrorism, that is an unequivocal win for the United States
of America. I want to show you the very careful wording Scott is using here. He's saying, if that happens, which means that he disagrees with Trump's statement that it already has happened. I cannot believe you invoked an international coalition just 2 minutes ago when Trump already tried that. Trump announced 2 weeks ago he was gathering an international coalition of ships to escort their countries, to escort ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Guess what? No countries answered because he spent the past year threatening to invade Greenland. So now,
matter of fact, he said he didn't need them.
I mean, he said he didn't need them. I was going to get there. Then he comes all the way back around to saying, listen, I didn't break up with her. No, sorry. She didn't break up with me. I broke up with her. I didn't need them in the first place.
You almost had it.
I almost had it.
You screwed it.
I want to ask you. Do you agree with, yes or no, do you agree with Trump that this war is won?
I agree that we have devastated their military.
Do you agree that we've won? He said we've won. Yes or no? It's not a hard question.
Well, I mean, if you consider a condition of winning destroying their military capabilities, their missile capabilities.
We haven't. Wait, if that's true, why can't the Strait of Hormuz be opened if their military is destroyed? Wait, I want to hear.
Hold on 1 second. Here is the big picture question I do have here, Scott, is if it is true that we have won, why are we sending the 82nd Airborne?
Thank you.
To be prepared for what happens next.
Why is the Strait not open if we've won?
One of the elements of the discussion is presumably nuclear materials.
Yeah.
And even with bombing last June, nuclear materials don't go away for thousands of years, and that material can just be dug up and reused. So one of the, really, to me, the only reasonable basis to put our folks in Iran is to recover materials after an agreement has been achieved.
Would you support that, putting American boots on the ground to recover
after
nuclear material?
After an agreement has been achieved to recover materials, yes.
Combat troops. You're saying under some sort of...
Would you support it, Scott?
Well, we cannot exit this, in my opinion, without being able to assure the world that they do not have enriched uranium to the point of and purpose of building a nuclear weapon.
And we have to go boots on the ground.
So that is what we have to exit.
So let's talk about the fact that this Democrat won this seat. Adam.
Yeah, I mean, as funny as it is that the seat is Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago district, I think that the reality is prices are squeezing a lot of Americans. I know that people in my generation do not like to see $4 gas. People in my generation were already feeling the pain of the tariff tax that Trump imposed on American families in 2025, which was a $1,000 increase for American families. You can add in the ACA subsidies. Those compound. But the real thing that I'm concerned about right now is the national debt. The national debt added $8 trillion in the last two Middle Eastern wars, and now we pay $1 trillion per year just on the interest of that debt. And what are we doing? Spending tens of billions of dollars on another war that could last whoever knows how long? It's like, it's a lot of money, and I do not want to be dealing with this debt crisis for my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, it's a crisis I feel like I've been covering my whole career in Washington as well. Yeah. Now, Val Demings,
I would like to mark a point of agreement. I don't want to get in Val's way, but
no, go ahead.
I agree with the debt.
Would be the most effective way to deal with it?
Kim? Electing Democrats.
Cut everything. No. It's
back to
it's
voting in
problem.
Florida.
Yeah, let me give this to Val Demings. This is your home state.
This is my home state.
You understand the territory. This has been historically... I mean, yes, obviously it's noteworthy that Mar-a-Lago is there, but it's also fundamentally
it's red district. Mar-a-Lago is there. But Representative-elect Gregory said it. She focused on the issues that people care about. And at the end of the day, people want to know, how's my life better because of the decisions that are being made by the people in office? Her opponent put the president front and center, who also said that he had the full and complete endorsement of the president. Emily focused on affordability. The president said it was a hoax. People don't like paying $4 for gas. They are worried about their future, their children's future, the cost of housing, the cost of rent, all of the things that affect people's lives every day. She's a small business owner in Florida. She knows what people are feeling and what they are going through. And they elected her because they want to see someone who sees them in office.
It is ironic that Republicans lost this special election. They're going to lose around the country come the midterms because of the same exact type of policies that, honestly, Scott has been advocating for on here. Tariffs on the American families. People do not like that. This Iran war has increased gas prices. We have the ACA subsidies being cut. I mean, they continue to advocate and pass these policies that American families feel the effect of, then it backfires in the midterms. This is going to be a big blue wave. It already was going to be before the war in Iran, and this is the most, like, visceral change that we've seen so far. When I drove to the airport today, I passed by two gas stations, and I was paying attention. American families are paying attention to this.
They are.
I'm old enough to remember when Democrats were advocating for higher gas prices to bring about the end of the internal combustion engine.
You only have to be five.
Now, all of a sudden, gas prices are...
Wait, which Democrats said, I want higher gas prices?
Literally all of them.
They said, I want higher gas prices.
And gas prices...
That was the policy, to drive prices up, to get rid of the internal combustion engine.
Gas prices was the one thing that... That was the president's Trump card, right? That gas prices were going down. He just said that a couple of weeks ago at the State of the Union. Gas prices are going up because of the war that he has not even clearly explained to his voters why the gas prices are going up, why we're in the war. And so we're seeing the results of how people voted.
Scott, this does seem to be a situation where Democrats have been going down to the floor and they have been saying we want to fund everything in DHS except for ICE. It does seem like, and we were having this conversation in real time at this table last night, that Senate Republicans were able to convince the president that they should do a version of that.
Yes.
That they would try to do the ICE and the, you know, border enforcement funding along with the voter things that the president wanted in a different way, and they would fund DHS. But that seems to have totally unraveled throughout the course of today. And meanwhile, Americans are stuck in line.
I know. Well, I think you have it right. The Democrats originally asked for a situation where they could fund everything but ICE. Republicans said, okay. They went over to the White House last night. They got Trump to basically agree to that. There are 260,000 employees, by the way, in play here. Only 6,000 of them have to do with the immigration enforcement. So what we thought Democrats wanted to do was fund 254,000 workers, and now they're saying they don't want to do that. And so it seems to me that they're moving the goalposts. It strikes me that there's a really simple two-part solution here. One, go ahead and get the airport situation taken care of. I thought everybody agreed to that. Maybe Democrats want to continue to inflict pain on the American people. It sounds like they do. And then number two, Republicans go down the path of reconciliation, knowing that it may be difficult to get it done, but that's probably the best way to do that. Now, the ICE people are funded for the next 2 years, thanks to the big, beautiful bill, so there is some cushion here. And my humble advice to Democrats would be, if you want to make policy changes to ICE, the correct vehicle for that is when you do the next full year appropriations. That's when you can ask for things. But right now, the priority ought to be, A, pay these poor TSA people. B, get the American people moving
and
again.
FEMA.
And C,
to wait 4 years?
Say what you were going to do. Go ahead and follow through on what you were going to do yesterday, which is fund everything but ICE.
Wouldn't it be nice to wait 4 years and make those policy changes? But you know what? Two Americans have died on the streets at the hands of ICE agents. And as a former law enforcement, but Democrats are asking for it. It's not unreasonable. Body cameras, clear identification to identify yourself, and to remove the mask. You don't see police officers, local police officers on the street walking around like that. And in terms of the TSA, we know that Republicans in the Senate and in the House give this president whatever he wants. If this president wanted to fund the TSA, you're saying they don't give this president anything and everything he wants?
Well, seven votes.
They would be funding the TSA.
We need to find
a way to pay the most vulnerable group with the most important job at the airport, get them paid.
Can we just have a Senate lesson here? It takes 60 votes to do this. There are 53
I
Republicans.
Sort of explicitly we give. And so, forbade that. Scott.
I know, but that's because it obliterates her argument.
We give.
I mean, that's why you forbade reconciliation, not filibuster.
That's true, Adam.
The two-step solution you laid out would be good, but you're forgetting the third step, which is them bringing it to Trump and Trump shooting it all down. Democrats gave.
He'll do it.
Well, okay, so your two-step solution got blown up by the very guy that you're defending. But
he'll do it. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see about that. Number one.
We won't, because Democrats won't vote for
him. No, wait, what are you talking about?
Call his bluff, then.
He'll do it.
He'll
do it.
Call his bluff.
The TSA is not being paid because the president could care less about them not being paid.
Listen, Democrats, please put up a bill for the eighth time to fund TSA, because Republicans have shot it down the first seven times.
It was filed today.
Let's fund the Coast Guard and Republicans and the Secret Service.
It was filed today.
There does actually seem to be some consensus here, which is that the whole thing should be funded.
Yeah,
but
Trump is TSA.
Schumer
said he won't do it, Adam.
Trump is holding it up. We literally just laid out that Trump is holding it up.
Trump is in a separate branch of government. This is the Senate.
He told the Republicans.
We're talking
about. Republicans do whatever he wants them to do.
Just a couple weeks ago for you, but this is a different
branch.
All right, I want to reorient this conversation slightly. Okay.
No, it's true.
No, if you say
Trump is against
this,
the camera is only going to look at me right now. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Okay, hello. So we're going to look and see what Steve Bannon had to say about ICE agents at airports, because, of course, we've been looking at how, right, everyone's engaged in their own version of political theater and brinksmanship and trying to look like they're the ones who've saved the situation, et cetera. One thing that happened here was that the administration sent ICE into the airports, right? Definitely a lot of political layers to that decision. But Steve Bannon posited that it was actually about much more than just this current crisis. Let's watch what he had to say, and then we'll hopefully talk, not yell, about it. Watch.
We can use what's happening with these ICE helping out at the airports. We can use this as a test run, as a test case to get to really perfect ICE's involvement in the 2026 midterm election, sir.
Yeah, I think we should have ICE agents at the polling places.
I think it's perfect training for the fall of 2026. Look what happened. They've moved everybody along. People get there quick. They vote quick. Maybe every now and again they pull somebody line. Hey, yo, ID? Got an ID?
What's he playing at here?
Look, there's a federal statute that forbids federal law enforcement from being armed near polling places, and law enforcement doesn't go anywhere unarmed. So he's pulling your chain and you're letting him. That's been the law since the Reconstruction era.
There's also a peaceful transfer of power.
The law now?
There's also a peaceful transfer of power in the law. And guess who
guess
who broke the peaceful transfer of power for the first time in American history?
Nice try, Adam.
Scott Jennings wrote an article titled
and
Trump Calls
Tom Homan just look, I've been meaning polite to you all day and I'm done with it. So look, this same kind of attack on sensitive spaces was made. Tom Homan answered it quite well earlier this week. Going into schools, hospitals, et cetera. And he called the bluff. Name one time that's ever happened. When someone, in a hot pursuit, you could end up in there. But enforcement actions are not taking place in those places.
Wait a minute.
They're not going to take
ICE
place
ICE has skirted 200 court orders just in the state of Minnesota since this year begun. Just because I point out that Trump has already tried to overturn an election doesn't mean that you can go on some random tangent. I mean, we have people at this table who called Trump out for causing January 6th and wrote articles about it. So
the problem
congratulations.
Back to ICE being at the airports. The problem with ICE being at the airports to supplement TSA, they're just not trained to do what TSA does. They're certainly there. They have a larger presence. I'm not sure how that is really helping with the problems with the lines, because they cannot help in the screen, right? I'm not sure. But what I do think is that this...
Several airports.
All right, from there, things go off the rails. But why was Ken Cuccinelli so mad at me? I looked it up and his nickname is The Cooch. How is anybody ever supposed to be taken seriously with the nickname The Cooch? I don't know. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe. Peace out.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.